Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is from our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians. We're going to be focusing on these words. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. So I mentioned earlier, we're starting a new sermon series called Treasure in Clay Jars, and this comes from that verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7, where we have these treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. These treasures in clay jars, those clay jars, this is what it looked like. This is jars that people had in ancient Israel and all around the ancient Roman world. They weren't impressive. They were inexpensive to make. All you needed was just, you know, some clay and pottery and just form it and you can make it. They were very common. People had these kind of jars all over the place and they kept all kinds of things in them. And as you can tell, especially by that middle one, they were not imperishable. They were, able to break, able to crack easily replaceable, right? But sometimes if someone broke one of these clay jars, this would appear. Treasure. And not just any treasure. This is what you treasure the most. You kept these in clay jars to kind of hide it from thieves, to kind of hide it from anyone that would want to steal it. That's why you kept it. That's why you had the treasure in there, in these frail clay jars. So we all get it. We all get it. The point is that appearances can be very deceiving. What may appear insignificant can actually hold extraordinary power. And that's the question, not only for today, but for this entire series that we're going to be looking at. Is the life that you live before others, is that what you show them? Is that the appearance that you give as a Christian before others and before the world? Or are people expecting something else and not this treasure in clay jars? You see, Paul uses this image to show the Corinthian church that he is writing to that this is what my ministry, this is what my life and my message actually looks like. You know, his ministry was one of affliction, opposition, persecution. You know, wherever Paul went on his missionary travels, he stirred up trouble. And boy, did he pay for it sometimes. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was imprisoned multiple times. And when he proclaimed Jesus Christ to everyone, it was not with this wonderful, eloquent speech, but it was humble. It was lowly. And he proclaimed Christ crucified. A man that is hanging and dying on an instrument of torture. Guess what? That is your Savior. And the Corinthians are just like, what? This is not what we are expecting here. We expect Paul to be a professional speaker, you know, polished, and he just moves us to tears with his just wonderful, eloquent words. That's what we expect of him, because that's what other people were doing for us. And we expected a message of power and might and victory, not this crucifixion and blood and death. Ugh. They expected the life of Paul to be actually above trouble and hardship and pain. Not one of humbleness and persecution and affliction and hardship. So the Corinthians, they were looking at this clay jar named Paul. They were looking at how insignificant and common and broken he seemed. And they began to question the validity of his life and his ministry and his message, even. They began to question the validity of the treasure that he was offering to them. And people are questioning you and me today. They're looking at us. And what do they see? Do they see clay jars? Or do they see something a lot more significant? Oh, man. It is so tempting for Christians these days to just kind of show an outward appearance or to live their lives according to human power and success. Let me give you an extreme example here. Does anybody know who Jesse Duplantis is? Go ahead, raise your hand. Anybody ever heard of him? Okay, some, maybe. Yeah, he's a pastor of a huge megachurch down in New Orleans. And if you haven't heard of him, I dare you to Google his name and see what comes up in the news results, and there will be one big story that will come up. You see, he wants to further the ministry even further than he's doing now. So he is asking his followers for $54 million so that he can buy a private jet, and he can travel all over the world sharing the gospel. Okay, never mind that he already owns 3 private jets already. He needs a 4th. And you know what he said in his little sales pitch that he gave to his followers? He said, if Jesus were here today, he wouldn't be riding on a donkey. He'd be riding in one of these jets, going all over the world, preaching the good news. Okay, maybe our life will not go to that extreme, but you know what? There are other ways that we show this. You know, in our lives, we got to have it all together. You know, our marriages and our families are without conflict, and we're always loving and gracious and respectful toward other people. And in our ministry, packed sanctuaries and strong leaders, and we got programs running at full steam, and people are just participating left and right. And the message that we proclaim, oh, it is one of victory, continuous, gradual spiritual growth to just go higher than any mountain, and the power to overcome any obstacle in your life. That's what being a Christian is all about. That's what the Christian church is all about, right? Until the cracks start to form. Until there is conflict in your marriage and your family. Until you don't act respectful or loving or gracious. Until that sin starts to seep out of this clay jar in your words, in your actions. And in ministry, ministry just gets bogged down. All of a sudden, the sanctuaries are not packed at all. They're looking kind of empty. In our ministries, we can't get people to help out. We can't get people to participate here. And this message of power, victory, of overcoming everything, is overcome by our sins and our weaknesses and our failures. And we begin to doubt, do people actually want to be this kind of Christian? We began to despair of our own faith, our own abilities to follow Jesus. Yeah, we actually begin to wonder, are people going to think that we are insignificant, these cracked clay jars? Well, let's take a look at another clay jar here. This clay jar is cracked. Nails piercing his hands and feet. Blood flowing everywhere. This clay jar is broken, crucified under Pontius Pilate, dying pretty much the most horrible death you can imagine. And when you look at this clay jar, it seems insignificant. You know, just, a Jewish rabbi ran afoul of the religious elites and wrongly condemned to crucifixion by a corrupt government. You know, people are just walking by him there on the side of the road, shaking their heads. You know, it's not much to look at, you know. This is one of thousands, hundreds of thousands of crucifixions here. Chunks. Nothing going on here. But when you look through the cracks, you see the treasure. You see the Son of God taking away all sin. You see the Son of God overcoming death itself through his own death. You see the Son of God here giving life, eternal life, to you and to me by giving up his own life. The power of the life of a Christian, it does not come from you and me. It comes from Jesus. Jesus is the treasure that fills your clay jars, filling your sinfulness with his forgiveness, filling your weakness with his strength, filling your failures with his kept promises. When you are conceived and born in sin, Jesus fills you in holy baptism. When you are weak as you stumble and try to follow Jesus in your day-to-day life, Jesus fills you with bread, with wine, his body, his blood. Yeah, when you think that your life seems so insignificant and cracked and broken, Jesus fills you with his word. He who knew no sin became sin for you, so that you might become the righteousness of God. And this very thing results in a way of life that people might not expect. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. See, Paul here was completely open about his weakness, his failures, and his sinfulness before the Corinthians, so that he could show that the power behind his message, his ministry, and his very life was from God himself and not from Paul. Those cracks in the clay jar of Paul made it possible to point to the power, the love, and the light of Jesus Christ. And it is the same for you and for me. Yes, it may be tempting to try to cover up those cracks in your clay jar, to minimize your weakness, to cover up your sins and failures by just dismissing them, by trying harder, I'll try harder. But see, it's those cracks that provide the opportunity to shine the treasure of Jesus to everyone in your life. in your sins and your failures and your weakness, you get to point to the power and the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ. When you are afflicted, you are not crushed because Jesus lifts you up. When you are perplexed, you do not despair because Jesus, he gives you hope. And when you are struck down, you are not destroyed because Jesus gives you life. See, this is the life that we live before the world. And outwardly, yeah, we kind of look like clay jars. Frail, broken, common. We don't seem that significant, do we? But in reality, you and I have a treasure inside of us, a power that comes from God and not from yourself. And that power is actually a person who treasures you and me so highly. And his name is Jesus. Amen.